as you listen to that heavy rain, is it not a metaphor for the tears of heaven? As we consider all the atrocities, well, not all the atrocities, some of the things that we have become aware of, knowing that the atrocities go far deeper, far wider, are more insidious than we dare imagine. The tears of heaven. And I suppose that's the first part of where I'd like to be with this, which is we need to cry. We need to have our hearts broken. We need to understand just how awful this is. But there are things at war that try and dull it down, to domesticate it, to make it less offensive. I'm reminded of some words by Stephen Covey. This is not a Christian text, although he had a faith. We see the world not as it is, but as we are, or as we are conditioned to see it. To change ourselves effectively, we first have to change our perceptions. We see the world not as it is, but as we are, or as we are conditioned to see it. And therefore, to change ourselves effectively, we first need to change our perceptions. Canada is such a nice country, and the people are so nice. They're so polite. And that is the image that is projected. It's what we're all told. Oh no, Canada couldn't do anything like that, because they're so nice up there, if it's from the United States. Or in the UK, they'll go, oh, the Canadians, oh, they're so polite, they're so nice. And, you know, of course, we want to embrace that, we want to live through that. But the problem is that we deceive ourselves, because it also then reveals that we don't think about the dark side. And it means that we think, well, it couldn't possibly have happened in Canada. And then we begin to disbelieve it and think, no, that didn't happen in Canada. No, they wouldn't do that kind of thing there. They're nice. And yet we have seen in the retelling of just some stories, we have been selective, by the way, in we've only chosen a couple of different kind of vignettes, little pictures in of the residential schools and all that went on there. Because frankly, we can only bear so much. And it is better to take a few things and reflect on them well than to overload ourselves with so much that we cannot begin to process. Next year, we can choose some different stories to begin to reflect on those things. The Bible passages were intended to be sharp, and I hope you felt it. I hope you felt the pointedness of that. It was entirely deliberate, and I hope you felt it, because you were supposed to. And it's so helpful, isn't it, when you can set aside, put a truth-telling story, and we're trying to tell the truth, because that is what we've been asked to do, is to tell the truth first, and then the reconciliation can take place. But it is when we don't tell the truth, or we varnish it, or we hush it up, or we sweep it under the carpet, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But where we find, I often say that I worry that we don't familiarize ourselves with the Old Testament scriptures. Because it is in the Old Testament we find critiques of environmental policy, economic systems, power, and the exercise of power, and all of these things. And you also find in there the practice of lament, the uncomfortable lamenting, the wrestling with questions for God, wondering why on earth is this happening? How did this happen? How can this possibly be true? And we are left with questions that I don't pretend to be able to adequately answer. but I'm content to wrestle with them. But I can see in the scriptures and in the God that I understand anyway, that the tears are from heaven. Listen to the rain. The volume of water. And so, we need to tell the truth. But we also need that truth to change us. When we have correct or better perceptions, then we're able to change effectively. And change we must. And so this service is in two parts. The first bit is, of course, the telling of stories reflecting on all of the crimes, and that's the only way I can understand these things. It is a crime against the heart of God. Take for a moment the scenarios that we've had. The dehumanizing. Not naming someone is deeply unbiblical. If you think about the way in which God approaches things, everyone is given a name. And even the ones on the margins are given a name. I love the fact that eunuchs were neither considered to be male, female. They were kind of in this indeterminate space. Nobody quite knew what to do with them or how to approach them. And therefore, they were excluded and they were kind of like left on the side. Polite society kind of like didn't really know what to do with them. And in the prophecy of Isaiah, there is this word that comes that says, and to the eunuchs, and it's addressing the eunuchs, I will give a name that is more precious than sons and daughters of God. I will give them a name that is more precious than being a son or daughter. That was a deliberate, intentional comment. Yes, people say you're not male or female, and yet I will give you a name that is more precious. Fast forward to the New Testament, and some guy called Philip, great name. He is transported. Now notice that. He is transported. God moves him like a piece on a chessboard. And suddenly he like disappears from wherever he is and turns up somewhere he does not know where. And then he's looking around, trying to work out what's going on. And he sees this guy sitting in the chariot. Obviously, flash. He's doing, you know, doing nicely for himself. He's got a chariot with seats in it. That's quite posh. And he comes alongside him and has a conversation. And for me, what comes from that is, you probably have worked out what I'm going to say now. This guy comes from Ethiopia. So he wasn't Jewish or anything like that. He was from a different race as well. And he was a eunuch. And depending on the tradition you want to read, he was the first Gentile convert. And the question he asks of Philip is this: what is to stop me from being baptized? What is stopping me from belonging? What is stopping me from being drawn into this life and this community? And the horror that we find right now as we reflect on today is, of course, that they were denied, the children in the residential schools were denied a name. They were denied belonging. They were denied the dignity and the identity that comes from being a child of God. They were denied the dignity of being given a burial. They were given denied the dignity of being given food. That they were, those places were awash with tuberculosis. Did you hear? 24% died. 24% died in the residential schools, and that's with poor record keeping. They were not given a name. They were dehumanized. Why? Because they were treated as something that was not truly human. They were denied that basic dignity. And that goes against the very heart of God, who longs to reconcile and to bless. And of course, we're given this identity that we are adopted as a child of God. The tragedy that nuns, priests, and visible representatives of the church should be agents of such sin is a stain on the church today. We live off the back of colonialism still. And we need to do more to uncover what those roots are and to get and pull them up and to get rid of them. We need to plant something that is beautiful and is hopeful and is one which honors all the peoples on these lands. And so we are in the business of having to look for all the injustices and even and also our own prejudices and racism within our own hearts, within the structures of society, and all the rest of it. That is what's known as true repentance. And with this, I finish. I'm going to use a fancy word. Brace yourselves. The fancy word is metanoia. Metanoia, for me, is repentance. It is where you are given new insight and new information and a new perspective, and therefore you change the course of your actions. That is what we need to practice. God calls us to practice true repentance, not just lip service, but one that changes our behavior and has an improved result as a result of that. So I simply leave it there. The horrors are, we will hear more and more of them. Let us not hide from them. Let us listen to them. Let them break our hearts, because it's only in broken hearts do we find the room to love and practice proper repentance. And then after we've had the reflection and the prayers, the prayers, when we move to the closing rite, it moves us into that forward future focus. And so we'll be inviting you into that moment as well, as a way of us doing something, being able to respond to this as a community before we head out from here. But we're going to have some time of music as Greg plays for us now.
Prayer for truth and reconciliation. Prayer of repentance and solidarity with Indigenous peoples following Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission. O God, Great Spirit and Creator, we praise you for your gifts that surround us, for the gift of the land that gives us food, shelter, and water, for the gift of the sun that gives warmth and light to all that grows, for the gifts of the moon and stars which you have arranged for your glory, for the gifts of language and culture through which your peoples praise you and share the most deeply held values you have engraved on their hearts. Come upon us, O divine healer, and open our eyes to the injustices brought against our Indigenous peoples, their language and culture in Canada's Indian residential schools. Give us repentant hearts that ache with sorrow for their violence against First Nations families and their children. Give us determined hearts that refuse to stand by when the dignity of our Indigenous brothers and sisters is trampled. Give us healing hearts that beat with the drum of Jesus' gospel to defend and honor our Indigenous neighbor, their language and way of life. Give us flaming hearts that burn with love for you who come to us in every human face, in every language and culture, in every gift of creation. Make us stewards of one another's dignity, of one another's safety, of one another's lands, of one another's right to a cultural identity as unique peoples, as gifts to the human family, as your beloved children. Pour out your healing love on all who suffered in Canada's Indian residential schools, on bodies, minds, and spirits wounded through abuse, on hearts wounded through separation and disdain, on families wounded through trauma and anguish that still torment over the course of generations. Jesus, gentle Savior, forgiving and humble of heart, good shepherd, divine healer, great lover of all peoples, we offer you our sorrow for the wrongs committed against our First Nations children in Canada's Indian residential schools. We offer you our desire to walk with our First Nations brothers and sisters, to journey with them on the path of truth, healing, and reconciliation, as we share this earthly pilgrimage to our heavenly homeland, where every tear will be wiped away and every sorrow will be turned to joy. Give us one heart and one mind to walk forward together along this path in the love and strength of your Spirit, in truth, reconciliation, and peace. We make this prayer in the power of your most holy name. Amen.
As we come to the closing rites, just before we do, just to say thank you for coming along, either in person or online. Thank you for making this time. And at the end of the service, Greg's going to play a little bit at the end of the service, but we won't be doing a kind of a, we're not going to do the doorstep or anything like that. Basically, just go when you're ready. And this is not the day for kind of the chitty chat stuff. So that'll have to wait until that can wait until Sunday. But just to manage your expectations that this is just a time for you to process yourself and then go when you're ready, and we'll pick it up another day. Creator God, Great Spirit, Brother Jesus, community of the Holy Trinity, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of prayer that presence makes rise up in us, in our grief and solidarity and yearning for justice. You are with us in spirit, love, and truth. We thank you for receiving into your heart our prayers, our grief, our confusion, our questions, our anger, our pain, and our hope for the healing of all who suffer abuse and grief. May this day humble us to the needs of the world, especially to the suffering of vulnerable Indigenous, Inuit, and Métis peoples. We ask you to grant eternal rest to those who have died, particularly in residential schools. May light perpetual shine on them. Give rest, O Christ, to your children with your saints, where sorrow and pain are no more, neither sighing, but life everlasting. Give comfort to their families and communities, to mothers, fathers, grandparents, aunties, uncles, and children of those missing and murdered. Strengthen us as we seek to serve your mission of healing of your beloved creation. As you cradle the world and all its creatures in your love, help us to trust in the firm and gentle hold of that embrace, that we might commit ourselves with steadfast faith and persistent hard work to pursue justice, to speak truth in the light where violence hides in the dark. Sustain and guide us as we seek to heal the festering conditions that breed violence and hatred. Be our teacher in the ways of compassionate care. Make firm and long-standing our commitments.